Thessalonians chapter 3. Tonight, we're going to continue our study. We began 17 weeks ago talking about growth and growing in the Christian life. I have a series of topics on which I want to speak during this series. And those topics, I came across one. It's not been a long time ago I spoke on this subject, but I wanted it to be in this Wednesday night series. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1, and I want you to stand with me, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting with verse number 1, it says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." Then verse 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." We're going to use actually a word out of verse number 5 to help us into the lesson tonight. I want to talk to you about growing your ability to control your anger. Growing your ability to control your anger. Now, there are some people who desperately need this. There are some of you, you need some anger. You're just about a walking dead person. You need to get a little zip in you. There are others, you have got to learn to get your anger and your temper under control. So tonight, growing your ability to control your anger. Father, help us tonight as we look at this subject, and may we all grow because of it. I pray, Father, that you would give me clarity of mind, and that because of the lesson, somebody here would be a better husband or a better wife or a better child to their parents or a better parent to their child. May someone tonight be a better Christian, a better employee to the other employees, or a better boss to the employees, or a better employee to the boss. May we be better neighbors and better citizens. Might we be better church members because we have learned to control our tempers so that we're not damaged and we don't damage others. Help us to grow in this area, please. Holy Spirit of God, help the sermon tonight not to just entertain us for a little while, but might it change us so that we're a good testimony in this world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. There's one thing that I want to point out to you. In verse number 5, where it said, "For this cause, when I should no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Of course, it is Satan that's out there to put upon us temptation. But I want you to notice there's only one letter difference in the word tempter and the word temper. You remove the second T from tempter and you have temper. And although that's just a little play on words, I want you to know that it is the great tempter who leads us to misuse our emotions and to lose our temper. You know, what does Cain and Moses and David and Jonah, even Jesus, what do they all have in common? Well, there are a lot of things, but may I say, according to the Bible, they all experienced anger. All of them did. Cain did, Moses did, David did, Jonah did, and whether you believe it or not, even Jesus experienced anger. Cain became angry when his brother Abel had conflict with him, and to the point where he murdered him. Moses became angry and broke the two stone tablets on which God had written the Ten Commandments. This is when Moses came down off the mountain after a meeting with God, and he found the people worshiping a gold calf. David became angry when Nathan the prophet stuck his finger in David's face and told him a story about a rich man stealing a poor man's lamb. And then later on, Nathan revealed, "David, it's you that I'm talking to." And the Bible says David became angry. Jonah became angry when Nineveh experienced a revival when Jonah thought that they would reject God and be punished. In other words, Jonah was kind of hoping the people would be punished, and when they didn't get punished, he got mad about it. Jesus became angry when a group of businessmen took advantage of the church and sold their wares, making merchandise of the people. And I don't think that was talking about selling a Christian CD or a Christian book. I think they were virtually building a business down at the church and really had no true interest in the church's well-being. Their whole interest was in their own personal business's well-being. But if you remember, Jesus overturned some tables and explained to them how he felt about it. And I think he was angry. You say, well, isn't that wrong? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Anger is emotion which all of us must deal. Anger can be good or anger can be bad. I heard a story and even illustrated it many years ago about a boy that had a bad temper. And his dad was trying to help him with that temper. And his dad gave the boy a bag of nails and a hammer. And he said, son, every time you lose your temper, I want you to take one of these nails and I want you to drive it into the barn door. Every time you lose your temper. The very first day, there were 30 nails in the barn door. But every time that boy would lose his temper, he would go out and drive a nail, one of those spiked nails, into that barn door. And he started getting it under control. And fewer and fewer nails did he drive into that door every day. And finally, he got it under control. And his dad said, you know what? Now, every time you could lose your temper, but you don't, go out and pull a nail out. And he did. Eventually, all the nails were removed. But him and his dad were looking at that door one day, and it was totally weak and beat up and had big holes all the way through it. It was a mess. And his dad said, son, anger scars people that way. You can stab a man in anger and then apologize, but he's still going to have the scar from your temper. And I'm going to guess that boy never forgot that illustration. I'm going to talk about our controlling our anger. I'm going to start, and I'll try to talk quickly. I really would like to be thorough enough with this. I want to talk to you about what anger is, and then I want to talk to you some about how to control it. But let's start out with the thought of what is anger. The dictionary says that anger is a strong feeling of displeasure aroused by a real or a supposed wrong or situation. Anger is a pretty strong emotion. If anger is allowed to continue and it continues unchecked, it can destroy both the angry person and others. Medical studies show that anger can cause physical illness. And people lose their tempers enough, they get headaches, and they'll have shortness of breath, and there's all sorts of things. If anger is if it's not bad and it's under control, it can be used. It can be used properly. God gave us the emotion of anger, but anger's a bit. It's like a fire. When you use anger correctly, it's like fire. Fire will warm us. It can be positive. When fire is used correctly, a fire can help us. When fire is used correctly, it can be productive. But when fire is left to itself, a small fire can become an inferning rage or inferno. When not controlled, a fire can destroy both the good and the bad. Now, folks, you know, we were created in God's image. And God demonstrates anger at times. If you don't believe it, you look at what happened in a flood came because they had made God angry. And Sodom and Gomorrah went through a time of fire coming down from the sky. There's coming a day in the beginning of the tribulation period. It's going to get pretty hot and heavy here on this earth. We were created in God's image, and God demonstrates anger. However, the anger demonstrated by God is always righteous. If God ever is angry, he's right. God never does wrong. But see, too often our anger is out of control and it produces bad results. When we mix our anger with pride and greed and envy and revenge and hate and pettiness, it becomes deadly. It is possible to be angry and sin not. God is living proof of that. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath." Now, let's you and I then grow in this area of anger. Let us practice constructive anger opposed to destructive anger. Everybody has the emotion of anger. It's an emotion God gave us. But you're either going to use it to be constructive or you're going to use it to be destructive. You hear about the husband that said to his wife, he said, "When I'm mad at you, honey," he said, "you never fight back." He said to her, he said, "How in the world do you control your rage?" And she said, "It's easy." She said, "I just go clean the toilet bowl." And he said, "Well, how in the world does that help?" And she said, "I use your toothbrush." I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas here. Do you know, we are to learn to control our rage or our anger. Now, let me define anger. And, you know, I'm a very simple teacher. I love the Bible because it just takes things that we all assume and it teaches us in a thorough way. And I believe sometimes the things that we don't understand and the things that we've not studied and some of the things that we have not maybe had some thorough teaching on, maybe those are the things we're the weakest at doing or obeying. For instance, I want to tell you about some different kinds of anger according to the Bible. For instance, Colossians 3:8 says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice." Now, there's two words used at the beginning of that verse. Those two words are anger and wrath. They're a little different. I did a little word study on them. I'm not going to belabor you with the text, and I'm not going to belabor you with the study, but let me explain. The word anger, that word is a word of inward anger. It's slow growing and usually leads to a planned revenge. So when it says, "But now ye also put off these things, anger," that is a slow inward anger that's going to mount up, it's going to ball up, and eventually it'll strike out in revenge. Then it used the word wrath in that verse. That word wrath, that is a sudden outburst. You know, some people are angry on the inside, and it might not even all get out, but it's building up. There's a snowball effect. Those are the ones that when they burst, they go out and do bad things to people. And I mean, they planned it. Premeditated harm. Wrath is a sudden outrage. It's an outburst. It's not like someone was walking around like a ticking time bomb, mad about something for weeks in a row, and finally they explode. It's you hit your thumb with the hammer, and it brought out some things that shouldn't have come out. It's even worse if somebody else suddenly hit your thumb with that hammer. But the word anger in that verse was something that happened. It was kept in internally. It built up. And that rage was just building momentum. And eventually it's going to launch out. And it's a premeditated blow up. But the word wrath, that's where we suddenly lose our temper and we didn't plan to, and once it's over, it's over. It's not necessarily that we would linger in that state, but it would happen. Now, there is anger and there's wrath. Let me give you another comparison to this thing of our temper. There is holy and there is unholy anger. Holy anger and unholy anger. Many Christians have a hard time believing that any anger could be holy. But it is. God himself chose to be angry. With this being the case and our knowing that God is perfectly holy, then if he had anger, then it had to be holy anger or righteous anger or pure anger. So there's two kinds of anger. Remember, God gave us the emotion of anger, but he gave it to us for a productive purpose. It is not to be an unproductive tool, it's to be a productive tool. Now, holy anger. Holy anger would be anger toward sin. When you read the verses that refer to God's anger, they always have to do with sin. Psalm 97:10 says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the soul of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." If we truly love the Lord, we're going to hate sin and anything that hurts him. Folks, you and I are to hate sin but love people. You're not supposed to hate people. You're to hate sin. Or if you say, that makes me angry. There's nothing wrong when we are angry at sin. But what you must do is you must separate the sin and the sinner. If you want to be angry at drunkenness, okay. Oh, but be careful. You're to love the person that has been deceived by the devil. We're to try to help them and love them. We're not condoning their drunkenness. It's wrong. It's sin. But hate sin and love people. That's what God does. God, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. But God doesn't hate people. God does not hate people. Holy anger, then, is controlled by God. If your anger is not under God's complete control, then it's not holy anger. And if, hey, let me tell you this. If your anger is out of your control, then it's not, it's definitely not in God's control. So when you don't have control of it, it's not God taking you over and sweeping you into the spirit and you're going ballistic on someone and you're out of control, but God's still in control. No, if you're out of control, believe me, God has not been given permission to take control of your emotion of anger. Holy anger is under control, under God's control. Holy anger is for people, not at people. Holy anger wants to build people up, not tear people down. Holy anger is not controlled by your pride, but is controlled in humility. Holy anger becomes a tool for construction, not a tool of destruction. You want to grow people. Let me tell you something. If you want to grow people, be angry at the things that cause them to fail. Be very careful being angry at the person. And some of us have a hard time with that. Parents, you'll get further if you hate, despise, and are angry with the lack of character, not the person that has the lack of character. Holy anger is motivated by love, not hate. Holy anger is to help, not hurt. Holy anger produces righteousness, not unrighteousness. So there is holy anger, but wait, there is unholy anger. If we harbor unholy anger, it's going to, for instance, it'll affect your prayer life. People who are angry in the wrong way are not real good prayers. You know, when you have blown it and you have gone into a rage and your pride is out of control and you have now made a mess, most people aren't real close to God at that point. At that moment, they're ready to shut everything and everybody out. They're too mad. If there's any prayer that would go on, it'll be, God, kill them. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath." Here, God put something about temper and prayer in the same verse. You want to know why? Wrath is a sudden explosion of anger. It's out of control. It came from the flesh, and God is just basically telling you, when you're busy being wrathful, you're not walking in prayer at that moment. You're not a prayer. It says, and then the Bible says, pray everywhere. That means pray without wrath everywhere. Holy anger causes us to want to share our problems with God in prayer to get his help. Unholy anger distances us from God. A Christian that's got rage, they have a pretty hard time when they're experiencing rage at actually being connected with God and praying and feeling close to him. Now, unholy anger, did you know it? Unholy anger, that's where you're mad at people instead of wrong and instead of it sin. Unholy anger will affect your service to God. Listen to this verse. James 1 verse 19 and 20 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It said, be slow to wrath. God's telling you, you need to be slow to lose your temper. You need to be slow to be angry. Notice what it says. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Hey, when we are nursing our hurts and our selfish anger, we put ourselves on a shelf in regard to serving God. Angry people don't get much done for God. You know, if you're out on the bus route, you're out soul winning, you're out trying to do something for God, and you lose it. You know what let me tell you what I've seen for years. I've been around the church, and I wish I could tell everybody all Christians are just so kind, and they're so polite, and they're just so gentle with one another, and they just are lovey-dovey, and they never hurt one another. But I've not found that to be the case. You can take a bunch of men or a bunch of women, and they can all be working on a project together, and the minute somebody exercises unholy wrath, they lose it, and they usually storm away from the project. What happened? The wrath of man does not produce righteous things. It actually slows the work of God down. It slows what you could accomplish down. Angry people don't get much done for God. When someone's angry, they are limiting their productivity around the church, on the bus route, or whatever they're doing. Holy anger, and the right kind of anger, will help us to serve more. Why? Because we're out to build up instead of tear down. Remember, unholy anger tears people down. Holy anger builds people up and hates wrong. It hates sin. Holy anger creates a desire to, in love, to correct and to serve one another. Now, so I talked to you about what anger and temper, and I described some different kinds of temper, anger. There's wrath and there's anger. We looked at there's holy and unholy. Now, I'm going to give you some things very quickly on now, how do you control it? What are some things that will help you so you can grow in the control of your anger? Now, remember, God gave us the emotion of anger. It's for our good. It's for our own self-protection as well as for the protection of others. But you've always got to remember, anger is a very extremely powerful emotion. Out of control, anger can become somewhat deadly. Listen, I'll very quickly give you some ways to help control it. First of all, to control your anger, you must yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. You'll hear me teach a lot on the Holy Spirit of God. I look at the Bible and I look at everything that God expects of us, and I'm going to be very honest with you. When I look at it and I see all the stuff He wants us to do, and I see all these ways He wants us to live, I say within myself, can't do it, unreasonable. But then God came along and He said, I not only told you what to do, I gave you the Holy Spirit of God as your energizer. You can't do it by yourself, but if you'll let Him help you, you can do anything I've commanded you to do. And then I say, okay, that's reasonable. But I would go to God and say, God, how do you want me to do all that? I mean, you want me to love everybody? You want me to hate all wrong? And all that stuff, that's unreasonable. He said, you don't have to do it by yourself. Matter of fact, if you try to, you're going to fall flat on your face. And He said, you're right. It would be unreasonable for me to require you by yourself to live that holy book. But He said, I will put a Holy Spirit inside you, and He will give you the energy. He'll give you what it takes for you to succeed at this great expectation that I've placed upon you. Listen, to control your anger, you've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. Listen to this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, God's Holy Spirit can teach us self-control. God's Holy Spirit then helps us to be gentle and peaceful and long-suffering. Look, if you're busy obeying the Spirit of God because you're in submission to the Spirit of God in regard to the fruit of peace, then you're not angry. But when peace goes, anger moves in. So when you cease to be in submission to the Spirit, you stop behaving in a spiritual way, and anger takes its place. So walk in the Spirit. When we yield to the Holy Spirit's control, then He will help us not to make those mistakes. You know something? The Holy Spirit produces more control, not less control. Let me say it again because I'm going somewhere with that statement. The Holy Spirit produces more control in the Christian life, not less control. In a church service where the Holy Spirit is present, it is under control more, not less. Some people think that the Holy Spirit comes and that the church service just gets wild. I mean, there are people just running and swinging and... No. And I'm not saying there's not emotion. I'm saying when the Holy Spirit takes control, everything is done scripturally and according to the Bible, and God is in control of what's going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32 and 33 says, "And the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion." God's not the author of confusion. The church service gets confusing. God's not the author of that. You say, but wonder if the Spirit takes control. Then when the Spirit takes control, He'll take control like the Bible teaches He would take control, and people would be convicted of their sins, and the lost would be saved, and people would get right with each other and right with God. The Holy Spirit's presence does not create an out-of-control atmosphere. So, remember, when you get out of control... And the whole purpose of what I just said is to remind you, when you get out of control, your anger kicks in. It's because the Holy Spirit is not being submitted to by you at that time. So how can I grow myself so my temper, my anger, does not get the best of me? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Number two, to control your anger, you need to be honest. I'll show you something. Be honest. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. It says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." Isn't that interesting? He said, well, you know, you've been told not to go around killing people. He said, now I'm telling you, you're not even supposed to be angry. But he said, angry with your brother without a cause. Could we all be honest for just a second with one another? You ever got angry and realized the thing that you blew your stack about wasn't worth it? Isn't that usually the case? You ever been angry and blew your stack about something, and when you heard the whole story, you shouldn't even have lost your temper about it because there wasn't even anything wrong. You were full of pride, and your big, strong, powerful mind ran ahead of explanation, and then you got in the flesh and blew your stack because you're so brilliant because you know everything. Then after you heard the rest of the story, you figured out, uh-oh, everything that I thought was worth losing your temper about didn't even happen, and I just blew it, and I lost my testimony. That's why it says here that whosoever's angry with his brother without a cause. And God's saying, won't you just be honest? Now, the only way you're going to be honest and make decisions about using your anger or not, you better hear the whole story and you better take some time to think through what took place. Because if not, you're going to assume you're going to lose your temper about something you shouldn't. It used the word without a cause. So often our anger is unwarranted. We become enraged over some imagined thing or assumed thing. And God tells us here to evaluate our angry feelings. If your act of anger is unnecessary, then you've sinned. And we need to stop and pray and say, God, help me to be honest with myself and honest with the person that I'm dealing with. Now, should I be angry? You know, if you would have a, just take a moment and have a conversation with yourself and say, now, should I be angry about this? I mean, I want to stop and be honest with myself. I'm going to face myself. Should I be angry about this? Should I show anger? In most cases, if you have the presence of mind to ask yourself if it's the right thing to do, you have the presence of mind to keep your mouth shut and to deal with it more gently. So, how can I grow my control over my temper or my anger? Number one, walk in the Spirit. Number two, learn to be honest. Stop assuming you know the whole story. Number three, to control your anger, you'll need to develop some humility. You have to develop some humility. Again, I'll read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and verse 24. It says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." I really believe that people who want to truly control their anger are going to be people that desire reconciliation. They don't want harm to come between them and somebody else in relationships. You know, here the Bible says, you and I ought to humble ourselves to the point that if there's aught between us and our brother, we ought to be willing, even if it's their fault, we ought to go and try to fix it. We ought to go and try to patch things up. It takes humility when it's the other guy's fault for you to get up off your knees at the altar and say, you know what, God told me I shouldn't even leave my gift here. I need to go fix this thing with my brother. You say, but wait a minute, it's my brother that's wrong. It's my sister that's wrong. It's my husband that's wrong. It's my wife that's wrong. But God said, if you were humble, your relationship would be very important to you, and you would humble yourself and go to them and say, hey, let's work on this. Let's get it together. Temper controllers are your peacemakers and your peace seekers. I'm not for this modern trend of pastors coming to the pulpit in their blue jeans and t-shirts and turtleneck sweaters and all that. I think a pastor ought to dress like a pastor. And if that's odd to you, I'm an odd person. But can I tell you something? I could give you one piece of clothing that probably be appropriate for pastors to wear from time to time. It's a black and white striped shirt, and they should probably have a whistle. I've been preaching for a long time. I spend a ton of my time trying to make peace between God's loving people. It's terrible. Humility reduces rage. Humility squelches anger. Can I tell you why most of us get mad? Because of our pride. I'm right! I'm sorry if I woke you up. I did not intend to wake you up. Go back to sleep now. And you know what? Most anger, most rage, most of it comes from pride. It comes from pride. Humility will squelch anger. Humility will reduce rage. So if you want to learn to control your anger, walk in the Spirit. Learn to be honest. Make sure you're making a right decision before you throw a fit. Number three, be humble. Be humble. Number four, to control your anger, you're going to have to control your tongue. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What, you know what that means? Shut your mouth. Some people feel like they have to say what they're thinking. You don't always have to say what you're thinking. I've gone around many a battle by just not saying anything. Just not saying anything. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And that's what we're talking about. We're trying to figure out how do we get that emotion of anger or our tempers under control. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Did you hear it? Wrath. That means a soft answer what's the word when you take a bomb and you defuse. That's it. Thank you, folks. A soft answer defuses a bomb. Because remember, wrath is just a sudden outburst. Then it says, but grievous words stir up anger. Here's where someone, their words are even driving them home to the point where someone is internally getting more and more, and that's that snowball emotion, where vengeance eventually comes from it. Conversations are like small fires. The more fuel you add to them, the bigger the blaze becomes. Nothing cools a person's fiery temper faster than a calm, quiet response. Let me tell you something. If you've got somebody that's just in a fit of rage, and you don't be a smart aleck, that's not the goal, but you need to stay calm and quiet and guard your words and watch how you respond. You say, I know somebody like that, that even makes them madder, then they have a major, major issue. And God may have to take care of that, but that does not give you the right to use their style of warfare against them, just in humility and in sincerity. Do what the Bible says. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Did you know it takes two people to have an argument? Soft answers are the key. And you say, what's a soft answer? Soft in volume, soft in love, soft in humility, soft in control. Every marriage would be in better shape if husband or husband and wife would learn to control their anger. Parents will be better parents if they'll grow in their control of their anger. Brothers and sisters would do far better at home if they would learn to control their anger. Some of you boys and girls, you're mean to your brothers and sisters. I mean, you're mean. You get angry. You get vengeful and hateful. You're going to hurt one of your brothers or sisters someday, and you'll be sorry that you did. And you need to get control of your temper. You need to get control of your anger. Now, let me go on. To control your anger, you need to remind yourself of anger's consequences. You'll grow, if you will. Look ahead and realize what your anger may cost you. For instance, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. In other words, out of control anger hurts you and it hurts others. Don't say things that you'll regret later. Get it under control so you don't cause more pain. Anger, especially if it's deep-rooted, it keeps relationships from reaching the quality that God intended for them to have. Vengeance and hatred. Yeah, and I have to tell you something, folks. There's a part of anger you don't even have to see it on the face. There are people that are angry on the inside, but they'll laugh and joke with you, and they'll just act like everything's just fine. But on the inside, they have rage and they're angry. And you know something? You're not supposed to act like that as a Christian. So, to control anger, remind yourself of the consequences. Let me go on. To control your anger, you need to develop a proper attitude toward anger. A proper attitude. We all like that word, attitude. Let me give you some things that will help you, attitude-wise, toward anger. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Huh. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Use discretion when determining whether to become angry or not. You know what the word defer means? Have you ever deferred one of your house payments? You know what you did? You put it off. You delayed it. You said in a little while, if you could just get yourself to say, I'm about to blow my stack, I think I'll put that off. I'll put that off. Parents, your children have the potential of driving you insane. But can I recommend that if you are prone to temper and prone to rage and prone to wrong kind of anger, when you're about to discipline your children, you need to go somewhere and cool off first before you do the wrong thing. You handle yourself the wrong way. See, that's what the Bible says. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Delay it. I've had the privilege of leading a lot of people for a long, long time. And lots of people. Some really dumb people. Some rebellious people. You'll look long and far to find anybody that's ever worked for me who said that I did not handle my anger properly with them. Oh, there are times I had to say, we're closing this meeting. I'm going to my office. I got up. I walked away. I went to my office. You say, why? I wasn't a real happy camper. And I knew that what was inside me had the potential of coming out. So I needed to walk away. But folks, you are to defer your anger. Make sure you're mad at the wrong, mad at the sin, and that you're not hateful with the people. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know the primary thing that will make your kids angry and hateful toward you is that you're hateful toward them when they do wrong. You say, well, I've taken that sin out of their hide. I'm very sorry, but sin was taken out of the hide of Jesus Christ. when you correct a child, its purpose is to get them heading in the right direction. All sin was paid for on Calvary, just so you know. That makes sense to anybody here? You say, I took it out of their hide. Look, Jesus died for their sin. It's already been paid for. When you discipline, in whatever way that you do, it is to direct them away from the wrong, head them in the right direction. We call it correction. Discipline. Discipline is not payment for something. Discipline is learning. It is molding. That's what it is. So, to control your anger, you've got to get yourself to the point where you have a right attitude. You know, anger will drain you physically. You have enough rage and you get mad enough, it'll drain you physically, emotionally. It'll drain you mentally. You're tired all the time. There's some people, I think they're tired all the time just because they're so angry on the inside. They're in knots on the inside. Their body gets wore out from it. And you get big angry over little things. Attitude. Get the right attitude about anger and rage and temper. Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Here, slow to wrath equals great understanding. Uncontrolled anger can hurt us more than it hurts the object of our wrath. But there it said that he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. What that basically says, if you're always losing your temper, you don't have as much understanding as what you think, which also leads us back to the fact that you thought you had understanding and you got pride as a root issue here. You say the attitude. What attitude can help me not to lose my temper, to keep myself under control a little better? Well, here's an attitude. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Want to believe that they intended right. People get disgusted with me about this. They get disgusted with me because I'll believe that they meant well. I'll believe that they didn't do that intentionally. I want my first assumption to be that you didn't intend to do wrong. It was an accident. It was an uh-oh. I don't want to believe that you were nasty, vile, vicious, and rebellious. But some people, the moment something goes wrong, they say, that's just wicked, vile, nasty, evil. I just know that of you. And usually you develop your attitude about others because of the way you would behave if it were you that were guilty of the sin. And so your basis is a self. There's a reflection. You're looking on the inside, so you think everybody acts the way you act. And everything they do, they must do it for the same reason you would do it. So you're virtually hurting. You're showing yourself. You're showing your own colors. But here the Bible says, be slow to wrath. Hey, stop and think. They didn't mean to hurt me. I've had people who have hurt me. And you know, I spend my time saying to folks, I don't think they intended to hurt me like that. When others are going, oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. I said, well, I don't think they thought it would turn out that way. I don't think they intended to be that like that. Yeah, that's anybody that knows me. I spent my life doing that. Now, listen. If the Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You say, well, I'm tough, and boy, when I lose it, watch out. I can pick up a tank and throw it. That makes you weak. It's controlling yourself that proves you're strong. It takes more character to control your anger than it takes to defeat a whole army, according to this verse. Let me give you a couple more and I'm done. To control your anger, you've got to learn to be a forgiver, and you got to forgive quick. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See, if somebody does something that hurts you, and you want to respond in anger, what you need to do is you need to realize, really, if they hurt you, forgiveness is in store. You ought to be glad that God does not come out to destroy you when you disappoint him. Yes, we'd all be dead. Yes, everybody, even the children. I mean, the children in here know the difference between right and wrong. They've been told by their parents, don't do that. That is sin. And they say, I know that's sin. And they rebelliously on purpose went ahead and did what they wanted to do. So may I say that every last one of us, we need to learn to be a forgiver. You just, somebody hurts you, forgive quickly. You say, why? Because if you don't, the anger is going to get out of control. Your temper will get out of control. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. To control your anger, you're going to have to learn to let God be the judge. Let God be the judge. And I know that's simple. But for some of you, it'll be profound. If you were letting God be the judge, you'd have no need to lose your temper. But you stepped up to make the judgment call. This is worthy of me blowing my stack. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. If you all believe the Bible, when somebody hurts you, instead of becoming angry and fleshly and vengeful, you just say, I'll leave it up to God. You know, I do not have to get indigestion, a headache, and everything else from being angry because somebody tried to hurt me. I just say, I guess God will take care of that. And sometimes you calm down and you come to that point. But folks, you know that only God has the ability to judge 100% fairly. And only God sees all and knows all. And we're to leave retribution or revenge to God. And God even said, and I don't even want you going around reminding everybody, I'll let God get you. That's not what God intended. That's God's place. We're to love those that hurt us, and the world doesn't understand that. And if you're a Christian and you don't understand that, you're saved, but you're not acting like a Christian. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is where living by faith enters. You have faith that the person that hurt you will be dealt with by God. I have been hurt. I have no animosity in my heart toward anybody. I've been hurt. I've been attacked before. I've had people lie about me and say things about me that are not true. And I've had my moments where I struggled. But I there is not an internal rage. You know, someone in our congregation said to me the other day as we were having a private counseling appointment, said, preacher, you are just so relaxed. You can just tell you stand up and you can preach hard, but you can tell there's not a, it's not a gut-wrenching thing. It's a part of the program, but it's a planned part. I'm not all tense. And now I've had enemies, and I've had people try to hurt me and attack me, and I've had my life threatened, and I mean on more than one occasion. But I'm not angry, and I'm working pretty hard. I lose it sometimes. I'm just like you. But I'll tell you this. I believe, first of all, that if vengeance is necessary, God will take care of it. And I don't know the whole story sometimes. I got to be careful using my own judgment to make certain calls because is there a chance I might be wrong? Is it possible that which I'm about to throw a fit about, I'm being unjust myself? Is it possible I don't see what God saw? Listen, I had someone hurt me some years ago, and I had people so angry. Do you know I've prayed for the person that hurt me? I said, Lord, I'd rather you not take revenge on them. I pray and I say, Lord, I hope they're happy. Boy, I hope their food tastes good and they can sleep at night. Whether or not God will answer that prayer, they'll have to deal with God on it. But I can tell you this, when I go to sleep at night, I'm not all knotted up in a ball. Somebody have to push me pretty hard to get me to take a swing at them. Now, I'm not afraid to. And I may need have call to do it. But at the same time, it's not all balled up in there. I'm not just walking around looking to take revenge on somebody or something. I'll just let God deal with it. Do you have faith in God? And that faith in God will help temper your temper. It'll help to control that which God gave you, but it is a deadly weapon unless it's in control by the Holy Spirit, by understanding the consequences, by being a forgiver, by doing the right thing. When I seen that the Bible says, by some means the tempter have tempted you, it just occurred to me, the word tempter is one letter short of the word temper. And he's the one that's responsible. Oh, now he doesn't get away with anything that we don't allow him. So the devil, you know, there used to be a comedian on television called Flip Wilson. Any of you old enough to hear Flip Wilson? Flip Wilson used to, on his show, he'd say, "That devil made me do it." Devil's never made you do anything. The devil's come to you and said, "Let's do this," and you said, "Okay." The devil doesn't make you do anything. You submit to him just like you could the Spirit of God if you would. Let's take our temper or our anger. Let's use it to be productive, not unproductive. Let's not use it to hurt people. Hey, hurt the devil? Fine. Hurt the people? Wrong. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight would say, I've learned something that can help me to grow in the area of controlling my temper. You know, and sometimes people can't even see it. It's inside you. When we do, you're happy. But you'd put your hand up and say, "That's me. I got to get this under control. I see it." Yeah, lots of us. There are lots of us. We've got to work on it. You may give everybody the impression you're happy on the outside, but I've watched people that just have an inferno burning on the inside. It's just like that. They snap and it comes out and it's a rage and it's hateful and vengeful. And there's a lack of forgiveness involved and there's judgment and there's pride involved. You'll never have a good marriage with that there. You'll never have a good relationship with your kids or your parents. And really, the Bible says it does not tend to righteous productivity. There are some people that would do so much more for God if they could just control their anger. But the people of God avoid them and hide from them and don't want to be around them and don't want to partner up with them. You're afraid that they're going to lose it at the drop of a hat. We ought not be that way. Now, sure as I'm standing here, the Lord's going to test me on this and I'm going to lose my temper before the night's over with. But if I do, I'll be wrong. Because I have one that will help me to control it, and so do you. You say, "Preacher, it's easier for you. You've got the same Holy Spirit I do." You say, "Well, you haven't been hurt." Well, you don't know the whole story. You don't know everything that I've been through in my life. But it doesn't matter. You can use all the justification you want for your misbehavior, but God knows the difference between right and wrong. And you should too. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need a moment at the altar, you may come. Just say, "Lord, help me. I want to grow in that area. I ought to be careful. Our tempers can get out of control. Our anger can get out of control. And I would rather you exercise wrath, which is you just blew it for a moment, but it was on the moment, spur of the moment, than anger, because that rage that builds up momentum is very dangerous. Ask the Lord to help you to grow. Humility will help. Getting your pride under control. Oh, be careful. Be honest about your temper. And when I say that, I mean you better hear out the whole situation, get all the facts, because if you're not careful, you'll have so much confidence in your ability, your foresight, that you'll lose your temper and rage. And then you find out you were dishonest. You lost your temper, and you shouldn't have, because what you thought the case was, or the situation was not the case at all. Be angry and sin not. God has anger, but it's not sinful anger. It's holy anger. This is the last time through the song. Thank you, Mrs. Young. Look at me for just...